Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how many mistakes have there been in your life? Isn't that terrible to have mistakes? Oh my gosh. Life can really treat us so badly. And how do we handle that? What do we do about all the trouble in life? Well, to help us see life better, maybe through a divine lens, is the guest for Energy Stew today, a wonderful woman who wrote this beautiful book and many others, Sue Frederick. Welcome to Energy Stew. I'm so glad you could be a guest today.
Oh, Peter, it's such a joy to be talking to you, a like-minded soul. So well, to answer
yes,
that,
we are,
great
and I know.
To answer that great question, I think that's the answer and the question that the universe revolves around. Is this all a random chaotic universe, or is there a sacred divine order in place that we may not be able to understand or see with our conscious brains, right?
Well, and we learn from experience in hindsight, generally. But there's so many things we don't know about divine order because of all the terrible things, tragedies that happen in life. And we wonder that's so bad, there's no justification for it. And yet, as you know, and I know, there is justification, but it's beyond our knowledge.
Yeah.
And it's not beyond our soul knowledge, it's beyond our ego knowledge, right?
Yeah. Right. Because the soul knows everything. And we all come in as all-knowing soul beings, fresh from the divine realms, very clear on our life path and our life plan and what we've come to do and be. And then the world and our culture and our parents and our schools start talking us out of our knowingness and out of our intuition and trying to get us to lean more into our left brain logic mind so that we can be successful in this physical world. And some of us are better students than others. And apparently you and I just didn't learn that lesson very well.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, we come from some kind of soul path that brought us here with some knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that because when I was born, I had to be resuscitated, that I had a near-death experience, and therefore I became enlightened from that as a newborn. But how can I remember any of it? I can't, but my soul experienced it in this lifetime, even though it knew better before it came here. And so once we arrive, there's a veil, and we're subject to this third-dimensional consciousness that is limited.
Yeah. Well, I think people who are sensitive, and I've always, growing up, my problem was trying to fit into the left brain logic world. I always had my intuition in place, and my precognitive dreams and my out-of-body experiences were happening all through my childhood. So for me, it was a journey of trying to figure out how to be in this physical world and survive, and how to have a career and how to be here on the earth. And, you know, I know now that that's because I came to be a teacher of these spiritual principles, and I was never intended to lose touch with that part of myself. But we all have many wake-up calls here, you know, the broken hearts and all those things. And I believe they are the ones, our greatest teachers, that get us back to who we really are and back in touch with our wisdom.
Right. And so we need to go through the many dark nights of our soul and find our way and learn that we're bigger than that.
Yeah, and we have people in our lives that we love dearly that have been a part of our soul agreement to grow. For example, my husband, Paul Frederick, we were mountain climbing instructors together in Colorado in our 20s and helping people back before before life coaching was a thing, we were basically helping people overcome fear and empowering them by being out in nature, rock climbing, climbing 14,000 foot mountains. And then Paul had some stomach problems and it was misdiagnosed. And by the time they diagnosed him, they gave him 2 weeks to live with colon cancer. This was the 70s. And so he and I just went on a journey of healing, and we did conventional and alternative Native American healing, everything we could get our hands on. And I really wanted him to live. And as the year unfolded, it was very clear that this was his exit point. And my job was surrender with love and grace. Surrender had never been my forte in this life. And in past lives, I had been a warrior, an Apache, a lot of things where surrender was not what you were all about. So Paul taught me my greatest lesson of looking beyond the surface, surrendering to what the agreement is, even if it hurts like heck. And when he died in my arms, he showed me his spirit so clearly that I could never doubt that we are divine beings, that there is no death. And he's come back, and so have all my other beloved departeds, a million, million times to teach me, to show me how it all works, to show me my place in it. And that's kind of what the book is about, through a divine lens.
Yeah. Well, it's understanding that life is bigger than the third dimensional reality that we're in. And certainly he had a soul plan of his life being and ending that way that the two of you hadn't known about. And we're not necessarily supposed to know about these things.
No, if we knew, don't you think, Peter, if we knew, it would ruin the whole thing, because we would not be learning. It would just be like playing Monopoly when you already own all the hotel properties, you know? It's like, you don't get to play the game. You don't get to be a part of it. You don't get to learn if you already know what's coming. That's why I believe there's a real limit in what we can know precognitively. Like, I've always had precog dreams, but they leave the timeline very vague, you know?
I mean, I'm always asked about time, and I always say, don't do that.
Right.
But
even with my clients, like, I will not say, you know, like some people say, when is my soulmate arriving? And I'll go, well, I can tell you what path they're on and around the time period of your life that they'll arrive, but I can't tell you anything more specific than that, because time and space is happening all at once and it's not linear, and we just can't interpret it correctly.
Right. I once did a show, a podcast from the other side talking about time.
Wow.
And how time, they don't have clocks in heaven, let's say.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating to understand how we live in a very distinct time frame that is limiting, really.
Yeah, and very limiting.
So, but the whole idea of this journey that we're on that keeps kicking us in ways that we can complain about. But I know there's nothing wrong with disappointment. There's nothing wrong with being unhappy when you understand that there's a greater purpose for it.
Right. In fact, life is not meant to be a party. I believe that this earth realm is our great soul school, and that our pain comes when we think it's supposed to be a party. And so we're angry at painful things happening. But the enlightened souls on earth, all of our great teachers from Jesus to Buddha and on, have all shown us the value of some form of crucifixion journey, you could say, of stripping away the personality, the ego, to really get to the core of your soul. And that's what suffering does. It finally gets us on our knees going, I don't know anything. I surrender to this lesson, this moment in front of me. Lift me up and help me move through it with wisdom and grace. Now we're in the flow of what this life is about.
Right. And it really takes an emptying of opinion.
does, right? And we all want to think we have all the answers. And then we hit a big reinvention point, a big change in our journey. And we really have to become empty vessels again and say, I surrender to whatever this is. Show me what this is. Show me how to live from my heart, from my soul, with higher divine wisdom, because I don't want to ruin this lifetime by not getting the point of the story while I'm in it.
I remember when I was 32, just coming off my second divorce, feeling like a great failure in life and not having a viable career at that point, for a good reason, actually. And so I said, okay, I'm changing the story. And I'm no longer going to be anything but successful and happy and whatever that means. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I had all these incredible breakthroughs in all kinds of ways in my life that actually are still benefiting me. Mm-hmm. It just turned the page, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden, I was in a new world.
And you know, that's what I love about this earth realm that we've come to, Peter, is everything here is this blessed combination of our destined path that we've come to learn in and on, and that's reflected in numerology and human design and all kinds of things, with our free will as humans. And that's the interplay of those things. And as you just described, you were on your destined soul path and you decided, I'm going to use my free will to look at this differently, to look at it through my divine lens and decide it's all blessed. And from that point of view, now you are riding through your journey as if you're a surfer and you're right on the perched on the edge of that wave, riding it perfectly rather than being pummeled by it.
Miracles showed up. It's fascinating. What it led to and brought me into a path of my power that I didn't know I had. I knew I was a survivor. I didn't know that I was powerful. So it was, you know, I went from the least to the most.
That's so great.
Yeah, I'm proud of that, of the universe showing up. You know, it's like, okay, I did my job. I just said no more stupidness. Now I'm going to call on the best part of me, whatever that is. And then I was asked to use the best part of me. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I think we can all keep doing that every day in a way, just be, you know, because I think Zen Buddhism says, wake up every morning as a newborn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's, we have to just be innocent.
Yeah. But to be innocent, we have to, I believe, go through that pain that you and I are talking about, because unfortunately, when kids are growing up, they're told they need to have the answers. That's part of going to school, right? You've got to have the answers. You've got to fill your brain with all of this nonsense. And then you get out in the world of work, and because we're living still in what, you know, Star Trek called a world, an economically based world, how primitive, which it is, because our culture is still there, it means that we get out in the world of work and we're expected to, again, have all the answers. That's the opposite stance of a spiritual seeker or of a spiritual teacher saying, show me the truth of this. Show me what lies behind the meaning of this moment of pain. Help me embrace it. And so I always say that with people, when they get to this point in their life where it seems like everything's being stripped away, say, thank you, universe. I'm so happy to be at this point where now all my ideas and opinions and answers are gone. Now I can breathe into my heart and get back in touch with my intuitive knowingness that has always been meant to be my compass.
Until there's a new lesson. Because we can't, you know, we can't be in a place of knowing it all, understanding it all, got it made, because we'll trip on something. I, mm-hmm. I a few years ago during the pandemic, I was in a bad state because I, being unvaccinated in New York, it was really terrible. Yeah. And also I had a lifetime having to deal with anti-Semites. So I had all this anguish. And one night I was in anguish in the middle of the night, just feeling targeted. And oh my gosh, this is so hard to be targeted. And I couldn't sleep for a couple of hours. And finally I was on the couch and I closed my eyes and my mother was standing right next to me. Mm. She'd been gone for about 35 years. And she was just full vision standing next to me. And in 2 seconds, without even thinking about it, I was in total peace. And then I said, "So where's Dad?" And I heard my father say that he sent for my mother because he was so troubled by anti-Semitism in his life that he wouldn't be at this stage for my need. He wouldn't be a pure enough light for me. Oh. But the fact that he was there to say that was purifying in itself. So to have my parents show up. So I'm so blessed to have these abilities that I think we can all have if we surrender our souls to higher guidance.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to talk about this vision you can see behind me. If anybody's watching, they can see this graphic. My husband made this graphic to describe a vision I was given in 2014 about our world and what's coming and how to move through it. And that actually became the inspiration for this book through a divine lens, because in 2014, 2015, we hadn't yet had COVID. We hadn't had the major political upheaval that we're having now. The world was kind of in a calmer state at that point. And I was out doing a lot of grief teaching, teaching grief workshops, helping people connect to their departed for healing. So I was feeling very much in my place in the world doing my work. And then I suddenly got really sick one night. Actually, 3 nights I burned this outrageously high fever. And on the third night, I was lifted out of my body. And I was shown a vision. The beings held me out in space to look at planet Earth. And they were very loving, beautiful beings, a mix of angelic beings and divine spirit guides. And they were saying, look at Earth. It is going to go through some changes. But every time you see one of those lights, and these lights were dynamic, they were sparking up from the Earth one at a time. And they said, those lights are souls on Earth waking up to higher consciousness that love and compassion are important. And they said, you have to remember that the light is always winning. The light is filling the globe, no matter how bad things may look down there in the next few years. And that the light represents the love of higher consciousness arriving on Earth. And so I woke up from that dream vision going, wow, I have to help people understand that even if the world goes crazy in the next few years, the light is still winning. The love is still winning. And that vision has helped me get through COVID and all these crazy things we've had, including my current husband getting cancer. My first husband died of cancer. My current beautiful husband was diagnosed with cancer in the thick of all of that craziness. But I've constantly brought my vision back to this image that the light and the love is always winning, no matter how it may feel or seem.
We just have to realize who we are, who we really are. Most people have no idea who we really are, that we're these eternal souls and we're here just for a particular lifetime to grow through. What I want to do now is to have everybody know how to reach you. I want people to buy your book, Through a Divine Lens, Practices to Quiet Your Ego and Align with Your Soul. And you have a website.
They can go to suefrederick.com. SUEFREDERICK.com, and they'll find information. I'm always teaching Zoom classes. I'm always doing sessions with clients. I'm also a master numerologist, an ordained Unity minister, and a soul regression therapist. So I offer a lot of different ways to help people remember that they're a divine being on a journey. And in speaking of numerology, I just wanted to say, Peter, that your path, because you gave me your date of birth, is the Libra 8, which means it's a beautiful blend of truth and beauty and balance with owning your power. Owning your power spiritually, emotionally, financially, and physically, that every challenge that's come to you in this life has asked you to step up and own your power. And you described a moment earlier when you did exactly that.
Exactly, right.
Yeah. And then you're currently in an 8 personal year. So 2023 is a year of empowerment for you. Right. And I remember you told me that this is a year you've had some amazing experiences kicking you and your work up to the next level. This should be an incredible year of you stepping more fully into your spiritual wisdom, your personal power, than ever before, and using it for good in the world.
Wow, thank you. I'm loving it. I feel so blessed. You know, I want everybody to learn about their numerology and the blessings of each number, because each number has great blessings to it.
It does, yeah.
We all make mistakes, but they're all in divine order.
Yes, absolutely. The light is always winning.
Yeah. People can only hold on to that. And, you know, even through tragedy, I'm remembering a couple of years ago, I had a 21-year-old nephew who was dying from cancer. Mm-hmm. And it was such a horrible experience. Still is. I mean, you don't get over things like that. On his deathbed, I was able to speak with him telepathically. Mm-hmm. And got a lot of good information for his parents. Mm-hmm. That then got reiterated many months later when they spoke with a medium and their son came through and reiterated a lot of things that he had told me on his deathbed. Well, let's just say that after he died, I knew where he was going after he died. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy for him that he'd be on the other side. It's only the people left behind who struggle.
And do you know, Peter, that 90% of my clients are grieving parents who've lost children, and some of them have lost babies and toddlers. And then some of them, I just had a client today who her beautiful 29-year-old daughter was killed by a drunk driver. So I've worked with such a gamut of people facing the greatest devastation that a human being can go through, basically. And all of them, at least the ones I know and the ones I work with who come to me, because you've got to believe in a certain sense of the world to even come and work with somebody like me, or you just go to the traditional grief approach, which says, oh, you're going to have to get over this, you know. But what people like me teach is, no, your beloved departed is free of the body as planned, and they are your sacred teacher now in the divine realms, and they are still around you helping you because you still have work to do here, things you came to achieve that you haven't finished. That's why you're still here. And so let's find a way to continue that relationship with our beautiful departed child. Right. And all of these moms learn how to know when their child is giving them a sign or to write what they hear.
From there's so much of that. You know, my nephew sends hawks.
And yes, right.
Now I see hawks all the time.
Once you step into that world of signs, of understanding the veil is very thin, of realizing your departed are still around to talk to you and help you, and they're watching you, so you want to live your life in a way that makes them proud. Now you have pain as your fuel to live a productive life helping others, rather than being shut down in your pain and angry at the world, which doesn't serve you or anyone else.
I can sometimes tap into future lifetimes, and you know, it's like, it's crazy that nobody's heard of these things. I mean, I was doing it before I ever heard of it. And I'm just going, excuse me, universe, why are you giving me a future? Like, and give me a future lifetime. It's like, I never heard of it. But they were giving me details of them. So it was like, all right, well, let me just pass on the information anyway, even if I'm confused about it.
That's great.
Can do that. For people like you and I, we're blessed to be able to help people handle their struggles and appreciate the divine order of everything.
In fact, I was wanting to share with the listeners, as they know, because they're your listeners, that there are so many things here to help us, to give us signs about who we are, why we're here. To me, numerology has always been that, because after my husband Paul died in my arms, I was 29 years old. I was angry at a world that, you know, he had suffered greatly, and he was such a beautiful, sweet, loving soul. And my question was, why do good people suffer? Why does anybody suffer? And where did he go? How can I still live a good life now that I'm so brokenhearted? Why am I still here? And those questions really took me on a journey of spiritual seeking. But one of the greatest gifts of that journey was getting a reading from a numerologist who in 1 hour showed me my path, why I was still here, what my soul agreement was and is with Paul, and what I came to accomplish and when it may happen. And I just remember going, this resonates as true, and nothing else I've searched about has. And that was 1980. And I studied numerology since 1980, and I've learned more and more. I get teachings from the divine realms. I just love using sacred numerology. And the way I look at it is that it's not random. It's not like we're randomly flying through the universe and whatever date we're born on happens to be imprinted on us, and we're sort of victims to that path. That's not how I see it. I see it that our souls are hanging out in the divine realms, and we're with our posse, and we say, look, that earth realm is a big mess. Are we willing to volunteer to go down in there and help raise consciousness and also to evolve our own souls? And we sort of agree on a plan. And then I, for example, said, well, I've got to go in on that 22-4 path because I need to learn inner and outer strength in this lifetime. And Paul, my beloved husband, said, well, I need to go in on that 5 path. And he had his own reasons. And
what is your path?
Mine's the 22/4.
Okay. And that's a divine number.
Yeah, it's a master soul number. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so we made that agreement. And then we took on the path that would serve our soul's growth and learning and help us to make a difference in the world. And then, of course, we get on that path and it's free will interacting with it as well. Like, I'm sure I've spent millions of days, not millions, but many days just going, oh my God, I don't like this path I'm on. I want the easier path, you know? But at the end of the day, we all kind of settle down and we agree to get it done. And to me, that's how numerology works.
Yeah, well, that's great. And it's another tool. And I've always been impressed with numerology. But there are tools, you know, there's astrology, there's human design, there's source cards, etc. And it's wonderful to have access and maybe even putting a lot of them together, because they're not in conflict with each other. They're
right.
Augment each other.
Yeah.
So it's exciting, and you know, I'm so happy to know you. And
thank you so much, Peter. It's been a real joy to connect with you.
Oh, mine too. And maybe we can do another show at some point.
Okay.
Good. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.